right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots going on tonight in the world of sports. Didn't get to talk much about the Colts getting their doors blown off Sunday night at Pittsburgh. They move on to Jacksonville this Sunday. We'll have the game starting with pregame at noon here on Sunday on WGCL. Of course, a full slate of NFL football, including us broadcasting for you tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock, Minnesota at Arizona. And, of course, a full week worth of college basketball now that we are in full swing there, and the college football season is over until the bowls start in about another week or so. The Hoosiers coming off a 92-59 victory over the weekend against Morehead State. Of course, coming off the 20-point loss down in Durham at Cameron Indoor Stadium to the Duke Blue Devils. They have IPFW in town tonight. It's on BTN Plus, so you'll need to watch it online or wait until tomorrow night to see the rebroadcast of the game. And then over the weekend, McNeese State comes to town, and then they get a week off before they go to Notre Dame. Or go to Indianapolis to play Notre Dame, and then one last cupcake in Kennesaw State before Big Ten season starts. So, Glass, that's four games left, three of which are teams that are states or directions or something like that that shouldn't give the Hoosiers much in the way of a challenge. I know Notre Dame is the marquee of these four games, but in those three games, other than the fact that you obviously cannot come out with a loss, is there anything we can take from those three games in particular, starting with tonight? What do you work on? What do you do? At the end of the day, you have to have the W. What do you want to see to make you, I wouldn't say happy, but what is it that you want to see come out of these particular games now?
Well, I think anytime you talk about Indiana, their offense has to be good, Dave, because if their offense isn't good, you're not going to rely on the defense, are you? So they have to continue to score the basketball. They have to continue to pass and move. They have to continue to make the extra pass, get easy shots, get bunches of layups, bunches of free throws, bunches of threes.
So you want to see points.
I want to see what Indiana
does. Efficiency.
I don't want Indiana to change their diametric angle of what they do well. I don't want this to become all of a sudden it's defense, defense, defense. Because, number one, you know the end product isn't going to result in some kind of lockdown, unbelievable, right, watertight thing anyhow. Do they need to get better defensively? Well, of course they do. But what you don't want is Indiana in a dogfight just to show you, hey, they were in a dogfight. You don't need that. You just need – Indiana needs to incrementally get better. We heard after the Duke game it's only December 3rd. So I don't expect on December – what is it today, the 9th?
Uh-huh.
I don't need 6 days later to think that there's going to be some transformation. I'm not even talking myself into that. What did Indiana do really well against Morehead State? They forced turnovers. They got in passing lanes. They were aggressive. They stayed in front of their man. Yeah, they should be able to do that against teams that aren't as talented as they are. So I don't think you're going to see anything that jumps off the page tonight. Do you want to see guys playing hard? Absolutely. No question about it. But what else do you want to see? You want to see guys moving the basketball. You want to see them scoring. And if they get up 40-12 like they probably will tonight, what are you going to magnify? What are you going to get out the, you're going to get out the fine-tooth comb and start going through it? Because we've already figured out when this team is humming offensively, they play better defense. Why? Because you're already naturally up. You're already going. I don't think strategically you're going to see anything different.
Well, not strategically necessarily, but you know, we know that when you go into these games, it's a sleepwalk type of game, or at least has that potential. And so to me, I wonder, you know, do I want to see something in particular? Again, I'm not going to take too much of defending IPFW and holding them to 55 points, but I am going to take I'm going to have a bigger problem if you see hiccups. I mean, large hiccups, if you see big problems. As you mentioned, a dogfight against these three game against one of these three teams, that is a problem.
That's going to be a problem. A
long-term problem? I don't know, but it's a problem. That's the thing you don't want to see.
The other issue with it is there are still going to be mistakes. Just because you had a nice...
Nobody ever has played 40 minutes of
mistake-free basketball.
Not since Villanova won the national championship.
You're still going to have guys that miss assignments. You're still going to have guys that maybe don't close out angles properly. Why? Well, that's part of this process that we're talking about improving on. If a guy has 10 closeouts and he gets 9 of them right, that's improvement from where I come from. Mm-hmm. If he's only getting 5 or 6 of them against Duke right, now he's getting 8 or 9 of them right. Is the help side better? Are the guys paying attention? Are they rotating back in defense? Those are little things that over the next couple of weeks you're going to see before it will get exposed, as we talked about on Monday and as we've talked before. Once you hit the league, You got better coaches. You got better scouting. You got more guys to break down film. You got more ways to attack it. So, yeah, I don't think anything jumps off the page tonight, but I don't want to see the offense suffer because Indiana's so focused on playing defense. I don't think that's going to win them more games turning this thing sideways to get this figured out. It will get better in time. I believe that from Tom Crean. To think it will get better immediately doesn't make sense to me because you haven't seen any keys or anything jump off the page in Maui, at Duke. And I'm talking about the better teams here. Let's be fair because
right.
you're going to beat all these other teams.
Well, those are the competition you're going to have long term.
That
you're
going
to get judged against, yes.
And those are good teams to work on things down the road. Is that just playing one defense one way? I don't think Indiana can be successful doing that. I think they have to play some zone. I think they have to, mm-hmm. to play some man and switch like they've done. Will it get better? The hope is it does because the core of this group has played basketball together for the last year. This isn't a meet and greet. Oh, I'm not used to being on Bielfeld's side this whole time. I'm not sure what Bryant's going to do. That's a little bit of it.
There's some of that
but,
there.
But Williams and Yogi and Johnson and Zeislav, all those guys have played too much.
Right.
They should know those things. So what do you see? Maybe you see some chances not being taken and you play some better angles. Maybe you see some guys rotating quicker than slower, reacting to the ball. As Tim Buckley said in one of his interviews earlier in the week, they don't necessarily believe you during the game, but they believe you after you watch the film.
Right.
And if that film session is working, you should see quicker rotations. You should see quicker rotations to the help, rotations getting back on defense. That should all start coming together. It's not going to be a, hey, we flipped the switch. They weren't playing that poorly, believe it or not, where it's just now you've got to strip it down and start over. These things of learning concepts, learning positional sense, learning even timing to a degree. Hey, maybe Thomas isn't going to block every shot down there, so I need to get in this position to get a rebound instead of just mm-hmm. hoping he's going to block it and get it. Those are, I think, the small things the basketball person's going to see. But again, if we're sitting here at the under eight timeout and it's 32-13 Indiana, that's good. Because they've only gotten 13 points in the first 11 minutes.
Right.
That's a step for me in the right direction.
333-2665 is the phone number. Let's talk a little bit strategy, though, because there's one thing that has been glaring in what has been a problem for them thus far. And, you know, it was marginally better against Morehead State. Again, I think the defense in general was better. It's not the end-all, be-all, and it's not an answer necessarily, but it's a first step. But it becomes pick-and-roll defense because especially when you get to the Big Ten, you have some of the scores that you have in the Big Ten. And certainly you're going to see this against Notre Dame. They've watched the film on the Hoosiers. What would you do or what do you do with the guys that you have inside? And the lack of communication is what it appears to as much as anything else. Do you try to attack the pick-and-roll one way? Do you continue to try to play it differently depending who you are defending in the pick-and-roll and who's defending them?
And that's what makes defense difficult. Because it's not always the same two guys running it. The book has run it against Bryant because he struggles with it.
Right.
So Indiana right there says, well, who's running the pick and roll? Is the guy that's is a dribbler, a shooter, or is he a driver? Because you defend it completely different.
Sure.
You're going to have to step out and get a hand if he's a shooter.
But do you continue to hold that level of complexity to what Bryant is expected to do when he's showing a difficulty right now processing everything?
These are the games he's going to learn because they're still going to run pick and roll down 25. They're still going to run pick and roll down 15. They're going to run pick and roll
down
30.
And that's why they're playing until there's 2 minutes left in these
games. Exactly right. Because you can't replicate the game speed in practice. You don't have enough guys to do that. And these are the games you learn. And that's why, again, to a point, you can leave guys out. I don't like the guys being out there in the last 5 minutes. It's just one guy breaks an ankle in the last 5 minutes because he's working on pick and roll doesn't.
Sure.
I've never understood that. That's not going to change. I'm done being frustrated with that. When you look out there at the under four timeout and the starters come back out up 35, okay. That's just how it is, and I'm going to deal with it on my own problem. But if you have guys, that if it's guard-heavy teams, then guards handle the ball a lot. There's a different angle how to guard pick and roll because then you have to worry about the drive and the shot. If the big player can play, great. And, again, you made a good point, and I don't know if you made it on purpose, but
probably not.
The recovery and help of the pick and roll, if your man's standing in the opposite corner and you're standing a foot from him and they're getting pick and roll and the guy – comes from somewhere else and cuts in and lays the ball in, you're not in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw, if you've seen some of the blogs have broken down the film showing guys standing in positions when the ball's on the opposite side of the floor,
right.
Those are fundamental things that have to get better because other teams will pick that apart. Fort Wayne will think they'll have some chances to knock down some shots, and they probably will. They're not a terrible team. They got two guards shooting over 40% from three. That's going to tell you. One, they got three players shooting over 40% from three, so they're going to shoot them.
And they might make a few.
And they might make a few, but again, don't If a guy's going to shoot 24 footers over you and make them, amen.
Right.
But if they're going to run pick and roll and the help's late and there's layups, that's a different thing that you need to look for.
Well, that's one of the big questions when it comes to defense nowadays.
It is.
Do you make them make the twos or do you make them make the threes?
We'll talk about that. I know which ones are easier to make.
When we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes. We've got NFL football tomorrow night, 8 o'clock is the pregame for Minnesota at Arizona. Friday night, we continue our high school basketball with South at Southport, an early big game for the Panthers on the road. That is the Conference Indiana opener. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and tip-off is 7:30. We'll have college football, the last college football game of the regular season on the schedule. We'll have it on Saturday. That is right.
Finisher.
2 o'clock pregame for Army-Navy. And then in the evening, we'll have more high school basketball as Evansville Wrights comes to town to face the North Cougars. And that's a Wrights team that's been awfully good the last couple of years. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, tip-off at 7:30. And then on Sunday, Colts football starting at noon with Bob Lamy's pregame. They are in Jacksonville. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosier basketball team has a 7 o'clock tip-off against IPFW. It is on BTN Plus, so you will need their internet package to watch that tonight. It's going to be replayed tomorrow, I believe, at 10 o'clock at night.
10 p.m. on the Big Ten television network.
On BTN, correct. That's usually the kids that do that, the college kids. When they do that, I can't swear it will be, but
yep.
That's usually how they
that's
manage
exactly
that.
It is.
And so the question is, what do the Hoosiers do here against IPFW? And then on the weekend, they play McNeese State, a week off before Notre Dame, and then their final out of conference is Kennesaw State. So three cupcakes and a pretty big game there against Notre Dame. And again, back to defense for this team, because expectations of this team suddenly becoming one of the best defensive teams of all time is absurd. They are an offensive team. They have a great deal of offensive skill. You see it when they play it well. They play it absolutely beautifully. They don't always play it well, but they do most of the time, and hopefully they can get better even at that. But on the defensive side, they've got to be more than a sieve, and we've seen that too often with this team. Part of the question has always been, and you know, you see some teams pack it in the lane, this pack line defense where you want everybody around the lane and inside the three-point line and farther in than that, and you want to force everybody outside and taking outside shots. The Hoosiers, you watch them, they really like to stick the shooters a lot more. So the question really is, philosophically, do the Hoosiers want, do anybody want, do you want to force teams to take difficult shots from farther away, assuming they're more difficult than a layup, or do you want to take away the explosive play, the three-point play, especially against a team like IPFW, who's got some shooters?
They do. They have three gets hitting over 40%, and the three leading scorers are hitting over 40% from three. What's it tell you? Well, it tells you they can shoot them. So what Indiana needs to do tonight is not get lost and figure out, oh, there's the guy that hits 42% standing all by himself in the corner.
Right.
Because that's recognition. That's figuring out where you are on the court. That's figuring out who you are interchanging with on your side of the court.
And just as much so
court.
On a pick and roll like we were
Amen.
Talking about earlier.
It all strings together. You can't have one guy doing one thing and four others doing another, or you can't have three and two. You can't have, if you bisect the half court, you can't have the left side of the half doing nothing and the right side of the half playing one way and the other side doing the other way. You can't put pressure here and not have those guys responding to it. Everybody has to be on the same area code. And how do bad teams stay in games with good teams? They knock down a ton of threes.
Right.
And the only thing we learned about IPFW their last time out, they gave up 96 points at Utah. Well, they shot 13 of 27 from three and lost by 17 points.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that tells me 13 of 27, they can make them.
They can hit them. That's
well,
right.
And now if you're
on the road, too.
If you're hitting them all in the last 10 minutes when you're down 30 to take a lead down to 17, that doesn't matter. But bad teams stay in games if they get hot. So if Indiana doesn't identify the shooters in the earlier parts of the game and these guys knock down some shots, great. But you would think that Indiana's athleticism and talent will fix that. Again, you want to give up layups or you want to give up threes? Well, you don't want to give up any of them. And if the breakdown's going to be at the rim for two, okay. But wide open threes, guy's going to make 40% of a wide open three. He's going to make 100% of layups.
Right.
Okay? So there is some strategy to that. So you got to pay attention on
and
the
ball.
And
let's be fair here, because we talked about the idea of having an inside presence and Thomas Bryant come in and be a shot blocker.
Why does everybody run and pick and roll away from the basket?
Well,
you just told me why.
Understood. But he has also, when he's been sitting in the lane, he has not been a shot blocker as of yet. And maybe he hasn't had that much opportunity because they've been pulling him away. But he hasn't been. I mean, he hasn't provided that inside presence
yet. The hardest
and frankly, he looks confused at times out there.
What did we talk about last year with all the freshmen? The hardest thing for them to do is play defense. And what did we talk about the year before that? The freshmen. The hardest thing for them to do is play defense.
So we had too high of expectations of what Thomas Bryant would walk in the door doing.
Because everybody tags the McDonald's All-American and automatically thinks you got Akeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. If it's a center position. And that's not fair to the kid. We try to tell you that on this program, but we're not in the ratings business, so we don't need to bang the pots and pans and tell you that Thomas Bryant is a missing piece is going to fix all this. And for those of you who believed it, don't be mad at Thomas Bryant.
Right.
He didn't put out the press release. Yeah. He wasn't the guy that was on indie radio talking about it. Mm-hmm. That's not how it happened. You got to let these kids breathe, and you got to let them develop. And that's why, again, you hang them out to dry a little bit. Why? So it shows up on film so they can figure out how it works on the game speed. And the one thing that you've heard from Tom Crean, and I've harped on this, but I think it makes sense when you think about it, they're doing something right in practice because to a degree he's bothered by what goes on in the game.
And he keeps talking about it.
And he keeps referring to it. He wouldn't, in my opinion, do that because, number one, it makes you look silly because no one goes to practice. You can't do it.
Right.
So if you didn't honestly believe that, but what happens, in my opinion, and I've said this on this program for years and have talked to you when we watch games together, when kids rely only or the majority of their defense on their skill, height, weight, athletic ability, better teams don't worry about that because they're just as good in that athletic department.
No question.
Sure. So if Thomas Bryant thinks, hey, I'm just going to get close, but coach wants me real I'm not sure. I can block all these shots. I blocked 100 of them last year. Boom, a guy fakes you and goes the other way or he explodes by you because you're not used to the speed of the game. That's why Crean is frustrated. That's why fans are frustrated, because if you got to square up Juwan Morgan in practice or you got to square up Ryan Burton in practice and you're doing it well,
he's not
it's a different
do the same thing.
Thing.
As Denzel
I know.
Valentine
so technically
is, right.
He's not playing poorly. He's just not up to that speed yet. That's the patience nobody wants to sit and wait for. Look at the Wake game. Go back to the Wake Forest game, and I'm not harping on it for the result. The first big kid got 18 in the first half. The second big kid got 17 in the second half.
Yeah.
The whole game, nothing worked. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, one's a redshirt sophomore, and one's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
That's tough.
They're better, sure.
And you know what? You play at Indiana, you're going to run into some tough guys.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run into some tough players. And you're going to run into some talented players.
And
that's why that positioning. And that's why the belief is so important.
You're going to run into the expectations of yourself, too.
People
are going to come in thinking that Thomas Bryant is going to walk in the door and he's going to be Patrick Ewing.
You get a couple double-doubles to start your career. Everybody bites the elephant in one big bite and can't believe that the kid's going to have an off night. Cody Zeller had off nights. It is sophomore year.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let me ask you this.
Be patient.
My major Hurry contention and major patient. Irritation with the defense so far is it? I have seen lots, and I don't mean occasional, I mean lots of times where it looks to me within a possession as though the concentration just lapses at one spot or multiple spots. And, I can't say it's fundamentals and technique because to me it's literally paying attention or not paying attention to what's going on. On Twitter a week ago, I posted a couple examples in one game of people just turning their head and losing a guy and not paying attention for 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, and the guy's on the other side of the floor all of a sudden. Am I wrong in this?
If you're guarding
how do you
me,
combat it?
If you're guarding me on the wing, and there's no five-second call anymore, folks, so just get that out of your head. And I'm
with a dribble, there is
And I'm dribble, 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 and you're guarding me, and I go left, and you stop me from going left, and I go right, and you stop me from going right, and my teammate cuts in front of your teammate on the baseline because he's fallen asleep because I've dribbled the dimples off the basketball, and you catch it and you put in a layup. Well, you did your job. You didn't let me get around you.
Right.
You kept me, didn't let me get a shot off. You didn't let me get by you. You did your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not played that way.
Right.
Everybody's got to play that way.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you. But the example is, what do good teams really do? Take the first good shot or move the ball and get a couple extra passes? Well, why? Well, because teams fall asleep.
Yeah.
Why do you run the line two times and play action pass and third down? Same thing.
Yeah, right.
Defense lulls themselves. They think we've got
this
covered.
Drawing you into something.
That's exactly right. Uh-huh. It's the same way on defense. So that is the mentality part of it. If you can't get through the 30-second shot clock,
right.
It's not 35 anymore. It's not 45.
We weren't getting through 15.
Bob Knight, Dean Smith, guys like that made a living because they would pull people out of position just once in a possession,
right.
And it would take advantage of it. It's the same thing. If you have great on-the-ball defense, or if you have great post-interior defense, and a guy kicks it in the post, and Bryant's doing his job and doesn't let him get to his left hand, doesn't let him get baseline, and somebody just lazily cheats down.
Just watching it all happen?
No, lazily cheats down, tries to steal, or just turns his back.
Yeah.
And you got a decent pass from the post that throws it out to a 40% shooter, knocks down a three. What are you doing?
Right.
Make up your mind. You've got to do it. You've got to pay attention totally. And that's why they talk about team defense. It isn't one guy that can't do it. If one guy – who doesn't get beat? Everybody gets beat. So when that guy gets beat, four others have to react. And if those guys don't react quick enough, mm-hmm. then you see things like free layups. Then you see things like kicked open, wide open threes. Or – Tom uses this term a lot, and we use it a lot in football too. You can't do everybody else's job.
Yeah, you got to do
yours. You have to do your job, and if your job is to be help in the lane,
then you have to be committed to it.
You don't run across the court to jump in that guy's face because all it takes is one pass to the top and one pass to your guy in the opposite corner, and he's wide open.
Right.
It's discipline. It's knowing where you are on the court. It's knowing where you're at on the shot clock, and it's just things you have to play yourself into. And you know, Danny Manning's not a Hall of Fame coach, but he's moving his way up the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Mullin played in the league for 100 years. What does the league do? Matchups.
That's
all they
matchups.
Do is matchups. Absolutely. And who was the last coach we played out there in the final game?
UNLV, Lon Kruger?
No,
he's
Dave
at
Rice.
Oklahoma, sorry.
Again, UNLV had enough talent where we couldn't just show up.
Right.
Talent along with UNLV.
Well, they had another team with bigs. And to me,
they had guys that could run.
Yeah,
they had guys that could jump.
Again, this team is really I hate to put it all
Tom
McBrien, but the fact of the matter is we're soft inside. I mean, we're young and we're soft inside. We don't have the depth. There's reasons for that. But teams that have had better inside games so far in this season have given us the most trouble by far.
And the most talented teams have given us the
most
trouble.
Well, of course. That'll always be the case.
And I think if you're a fan,
Duke's going to give everybody a problem, by the way.
And they are, but I don't know if Wake is.
Well, right, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know if St. John's is.
Right.
I don't know
if.
Well, that's the frustrating part because those were the reaction games after that first loss,
right.
And you didn't see the bounce back that you'd like to have seen against St. John's. You got a result, which is number one. You get results. You do that first, and number two was against Vegas. That was a chance to leave on a high note, and it didn't happen.
It didn't.
And when things don't happen, people ask questions. It's not hard. These guys get paid a lot of money, folks. This isn't volunteer work. This isn't working down at the shelter. This is big boy stuff.
Absolutely.
And you put a team out there that doesn't respond, people will want to know why.
333-2665 is our phone number. We got to take another quick break. We'll talk about what we need to see tonight and move on to the weekend and the Colts in particular when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, programming note, tomorrow night we have NFL football, Minnesota at Arizona. Pregame is at 8 o'clock, kickoff just around 8:30. And then two high school basketball games this weekend as
doubleheader, baby.
South goes to Southport on Friday night. And Evansville Wrights comes to town to face the North Cougars here in Bloomington on Saturday. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip both evenings. Joe will be doing the game on Friday, but we got Terry Stultz experience on Saturday night along with John Callahan as IU is also playing this weekend against McNeese State. So it's IPFW tonight for the Hoosiers, McNeese State for the Hoosiers on Saturday. And I think we established there's no one statistic or anything that we can necessarily take out of these games against these particular
No, I don't think it's that simple. I think fans want a black
cupcakes.
And white. Yeah. If Indiana gets out-rebounded, not a big deal because guess what? If they win by 40, who cares? That's the point on all of it. What are you looking for? You're looking for effort. You're looking for guys that pay attention. And maybe you're looking for guys that aren't paying attention. Maybe get a seat when you're up 30 points to get to talk about it. Hey, let's watch this together from over here on the bench and see what's going on. But that doesn't seem to be the case. But with a team that you are hyper-talented over against, That's not going
to
be.
Does it look to you look to me like they simplified on the defensive side? They went man. I saw one possession where they went zone, and I could be wrong, but that's what it looked like to me. Is that they said you got to figure out how to keep the guy in front of you at all times.
That should be it tonight. But I don't think down the road. I mean, that's the things you have to do in winnable games to use as teaching points. You can't use that at Michigan State.
You got to start somewhere.
Right. And again, this is year two of this. This isn't just something that started happening yesterday. Raise your hand if you remember Indiana played Louisville at Madison Square Garden last year and got beat 94 to something.
Right.
Well, that was one of the starting points of, hey, whoa, wait, that's a lot of points. And then you got the Georgetown game that got into the upper 80s, right? Wasn't that in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
And back and forth. So it's not like this has been a lockdown team and all of a sudden the defense has gotten worse. I don't know if that's the case.
The last 2 years of defense has not been anywhere near good enough.
There is a phobia. There is a disease. There is a fog that is carried on from the Knight era that says the longer you play in Indiana's basketball, the better you should get exponentially each year of 4 years. Well, I don't know if that works anymore because –
did it work then?
I could argue to a degree it did because Knight didn't play a lot of guys that didn't do what Knight wanted. And that's
you never saw the ones that didn't.
Well, you didn't see a lot of them.
I mean, I think that's fair.
If you did, you saw them in bursts.
If you weren't good enough to play, you weren't going to play.
You weren't going to play. But it's a new game. It's a new day. You've got to coddle kids. You've got to promise them playing time. Everything you do on the court now is going to affect your recruiting tomorrow morning when you pick up the phone or pick up your Twitter or pick up your text messages.
Right.
It's a different animal. And the I'd bench him, that would teach him a lesson. Well, recruits watch that, man. And if you want high-premium kids that score and are exciting and dunk and get you 100 points and free cheeseburgers, you got to give a little bit to get a little bit.
If you want to recruit at the IU level where people seem to think that we are a top 5 to top 10 program that should be in all these conversations recruiting-wise, then I think at the very least you have to subscribe to the idea. Not that the players are king. That's not the idea.
No.
But certainly that they are going to get their opportunities.
They
do. That you're not going to embarrass them necessarily. I hate to say you have to coddle them, but I think that is at least a part of it.
You have to coddle them because guys are going to call you up that you're recruiting and say, hey, dude, why'd you bench Novak for the last 25 minutes last night? Is that going to happen to me if I come there?
Right.
Well, and you should say, yeah, if you play like that.
Right.
You're not going to guard anybody. I got to bench you. Well, then, kids don't want to hear that anymore. Kids are different these days. But what has to happen to become, in the argument that I've made from day one.
Why you got to bench me, dog?
The argument I've made from day one this year is Indiana's going to be a good basketball team. They're going to be good.
Yeah.
They're going to win 65% of their games. They're going to be 20-10 if they're good.
Mm-hmm.
If you want them to be elite, then this stuff can't hurt your ears.
Right.
This can't be something where you watch the game and say, okay, well, Duke did this to us, but we're beating IPFW by 30 and McNeese by 40 and Alcorn State by 47. What are you guys mad about? Well, Wake Forest, you didn't do that to. You didn't do that to St. John's, mm-hmm. and you didn't do it against Las Vegas. So in fair fights, you haven't seen it yet. So for someone to demand or want or point out that it's not firing on all cylinders is hardly negative commentary.
Well, exactly.
It's factual commentary. The point with the Duke game is you played against similar athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Duke is not elite in the athletic department. They're really good. This is not Phi Slamma Jamma.
No.
Miles Plumlee.
They have some of the best talent in college basketball.
And they're all young talent.
Not as you say it, as the way you said it. I mean, running up and down the floor, jumping out of the gym.
Jefferson had 8 assists because he could pass it to anybody he wanted
and
to.
And, of course, they made every shot, too.
Well, that doesn't hurt because when you're open, you should knock really good play. Guess what happens when Indiana's open on offense?
They hit shots.
They make lots of shots. Guess who's leading the nation in field goal percentage?
Oh, we're up there.
We're, if not one, we're two.
Yeah.
Shooting 54% as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of guys can make shots. What happens in tough, grinded out last 5 minutes of Big Ten games when the shot's not going in? You got to do something else. You got to get stops. You got to get to the foul line. That's the step that takes a good team and makes it great, Dave. Are you going to get a lot of that practice against Morehead State, IPFW? You're not.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've seen is tight game against Wake Forest, puckered up down the stretch, didn't happen.
Right.
St. John's led a team back in the game that you probably should have blown them out based on straight talent off the page. You end up just winning,
cruising
hanging on by 10 or so.
Yep.
And then against UNLV, you never led the game one time. If you want to talk about elite stuff, you got to play elite basketball. Is Indiana on the road to that? Yeah, I don't think they're derailed. I don't think they got a flat tire where you think, geez, there's no way this team can be any good. That's not it.
The effort is what got blown up, I should say, from the Duke game, and it should have. But it is still losing at Duke.
But again, after he got back from Maui, what'd you hear? Well, the seniors put a film session on together. Well, we had late night practice. Well, you're doing all this stuff, and it's not working. What do you think fans are going to do? Say, okay, good.
Then why isn't it working?
That's the point. The point is it doesn't get fixed as simple as a buzz phrase, team leading, players only film. It doesn't fix it. Mm. They fix it. The coaches fix it, and it's going to take some time because when you don't play back-to-back elite teams or back-to-back really good teams until you get to the Big Ten season, their next test is going to be Notre Dame, a team that is just as athletic as they are, that has no problem scoring 90 points getting up and down the court. Can they stay in that game for 40 minutes? Look at the first 8 minutes of the Duke game. Did you watch that game and say, oh, my God, they're outclassing. You're going to beat by 20 points tonight.
Not at all, and that's what was frustrating is for 10 to 12 minutes, it's there. Exactly
right.
It wasn't that far.
And that's why fans get frustrated. It's not a hard combination, but you're allowed to get frustrated because why didn't it happen for a longer period of time?
Is the Notre Dame game really going to be indicative for us in the Big Ten, considering when you watch Notre Dame, they are like one of the old ACC teams, which is appropriate at this point.
It is.
They don't play this anywhere near the same level of defense as in Michigan State or Wisconsin or somebody like that. They get up and down the floor. It'll be a shootout between these two teams because they want it to be a shootout. But it won't tell you necessarily, in my mind, that the Hoosiers have made anything defensively, unless they hold them into the 60s, maybe. But I don't know that it tells you they've improved what they need to improve the most, which is the defense of the
And I don't think you're going to see that from one game. I think it has to be a steady stream of if you give up 20 easy buckets a game, can you get it down to 15? Can you get to 15 down to 12? Can you get to 12 down to 10? I don't know. I don't know if they can do that. You can against IPFW. You can against McNeese State. The built-in excuse for the Notre Dame is already there. It's finals week. Everybody's studying all week. Everybody's getting their 3 degrees, MBAs. I got it. I'm that's fine. I mean, that's what happens. Indiana has not played very well in that tournament.
In that situation.
And it's always at the same time of the year. Yeah. So you kind of get the feeling
that there's no reason I can't compete with Notre Dame. I mean,
the two games that are going to tell you exactly what you need to know about this season, and whether you like this or not,
it's Rutgers and Nebraska.
At Rutgers and at Nebraska to start. Yeah. And those are – you don't like the schedule maker? I don't blame you. To have to open the conference on the road, on the road, because the start – I don't know how important it is, Dave. 5-1 to start last year. Won a couple road games. Won at Illinois.
Yeah.
I think you won at Nebraska
last
year.
And these are two teams talent-wise that you should beat.
On paper. The game isn't played on paper.
I understand that.
Because guess what? Everybody's thinking the same thing. Hey, here's who this team has struggled against. Why have they struggled against him? Mm-hmm. Have we found ways to exploit that? Do we have good enough players to do so? And on the road, sometimes you just don't shoot it as well as you do at home.
Road games are always tougher in the Big Ten than people think they will be.
And I harp on moving the basketball all the time, but that's a habit too, just like playing good defense. If you settle at home because you're up 7 or 8 because you like that shot in the corner, it's your shot.
Right.
Maybe on the road's not.
Right.
Maybe you want to make one more pass and get Bryant for a dunk.
Uh-huh.
Or here comes a trailer, Troy Williams, to jump over the whole gym and dunk it. Or they make one more pass and there's Blackman in the opposite corner for an open three. Or you move the ball one more time and they have to move. And again, it's getting into bad habits. Or if you think moving the basketball is a bad habit, get into that bad habit. Because those are the things
work on that a little
those
more.
Are the things that will translate on the road in hostile environments. Because, Dave, do the math. You're the math guy here. Mm-hmm. You win 9 at home.
You're there.
Well, that's 19.
For the NCAA,
that's 19.
There pretty
you're
much.
You're right on it, but you've got to do something on the road if you want to. If you slip up at home,
Hoosiers tip off shortly against IPFW in Assembly Hall again on BTN Plus. So you'll need the internet connection for that. We'll talk a little Colts football when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. The 6-6 Colts right now.
By the grace of God.
Thank God for the AFC South is what I have been saying all year long.
Why don't you point out the NFC East while you're at it?
We've got three games out of the four left against the AFC South and also at the Miami Dolphins, who stink. But you start this weekend against the Jaguars. The worst possible thing at this point, with Andrew Luck already out for a few weeks with a lacerated kidney, would be to hear that Matt Hasselbeck was banged up and is at least questionable or anyable at this point in time for
full
any of these games.
Practice
then
today.
It becomes Charlie Whitehurst and Jesus Christ Superstar in there at quarterback. Look.
That's a hair reference, folks.
Yes, it is. Thank you. And a beard.
Today, Matt Hasselbeck. I wasn't sure how I was going to go, but I was able to do my normal workload at practice. That's according to Colts.com.
And thank God.
As you said, there's still some level of pain, but it decreased as the reps grew. From a game plan standpoint, Hasselbeck said after dissecting the Steelers film for all the way through, he was still frustrated at the missed opportunities for the offense, and they came early and often.
I can tell him as a 40-year-old, it's going to be pain every day no matter what's going on.
Yes,
but looking at the standings and seeing the Houston Texans also at 6-6 is a little painful, because now there's not quite the breathing room you thought maybe you'd have at this point. And you got to win games. There's four games left.
Yeah.
You got to win games.
And you get the Texans at home.
It's going to be hard down the stretch, just from the standpoint of it is conference games. Luckily, they aren't the greatest talent in the world, but they're playing the same teams. The Texans play the Patriots. Then they're the Colts at the Titans and the Jaguars. So, I mean, it's all about the division, basically, at this point in time. We've got the Dolphins. They've got the Patriots. That's a nice break for the Colts, I suppose.
Well, didn't the Colts already play the Patriots?
We did.
So, it's not a break.
That.
Philip
Dorsett,
full practice today. That's
oh
a good. Well, you can use some offensive weapons, because when Frank Gore is your leading wide receiver or your leading pass catcher, 3 for 49 yards.
He wasn't much of an offensive weapon when he was in there. We'll see what he can come back and do, but he's a
you
rookie wide receiver.
Everything. Yeah. If you can stretch the field a little bit more,
a little bit would help.
That would be fantastic. The good news for the Colts is they are already 3-0 in the division. They haven't lost a division game, as we know, in 152 years.
Yeah.
That's the good news. The bad news for the Colts is they are running out of players.
Yes.
They're running out of players in the linebacking core. They're running out of pass rushers who can't get to the quarterback anyhow. It's been tough, but it's 6-6, Dave. I think that's a little bit better than you would have told, or I would have told you, if these injuries would have piled up like this. You'd fire your offensive coordinator halfway through the season. Your star quarterback has been out. You're right in the division race, and you are what your record says you are. I believe that 100%. The Colts don't have any margin of error. It's going to be a put-up-or-shut-up kind of deal. And with how many of the games, it's 2-2, and the last two division games are both home.
Mm-hmm.
The last 3 weeks, it's home, away, home, and the two home games are division games. It sets up nicely.
It's a favorable finish, as favorable as you're going to get in the NFL. You still have to go to two places, and you still have to play your division teams.
But Andrew Luck is running win sprints. Jim Irsay mentioned that perhaps the Miami game would be a target return date for him.
Yeah,
I think you throw that in there just to get the team fired up, if anything.
And that's still a week and a half, 2 weeks away, whatever it is now.
There's a carrot at the end of the tunnel there. But the Colts, again, when they play good teams, they've struggled. The only time they didn't is when they beat the Broncos, and that kind of sent the Broncos with Peyton Manning spiraling in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Osweiler has now fixed that issue. But the Colts, you can point to their schedule and say, yeah, the six wins are who? Teams you should probably beat. Tampa's a good team. That's not a terrible
nice
win at all. But again, where was it? At home. So the Colts are doing what's required of them. It's not a special year. It's a gutty year. And if they gut this out and make the playoffs and beat Kansas City in the first round like they do every year, well, that's not terrible, because the factors and the speed bumps and the pitfalls put in front of them, they have shown to be resilient. The offensive line that played 2 weeks ago and won a football game got destroyed by a decent defense last week.
That's right.
That's not going to last.
Right.
You know that.
Well, here's your problem. I mean, at this stage of the season, what you've seen is injuries. Now, the biggest injury of all, we hope and we think, is going to come back, and that's Andrew Luck, of course. But you're seeing a little bit of attrition on the offensive line. Hugh Thornton is banged up. Collette Holmes hasn't played in weeks. And I don't know if that's an injury
problem.
Or what. Yeah, exactly. You've had Jonathan Harrison
in there. Costanzo hasn't played in 3 weeks.
Costanzo did not practice today, and he hasn't played in a couple weeks, so they've had to shuffle around.
Problem.
They put the rookie in at right tackle, and the kid's doing about as good a job as
that's
you could
it.
Hope for from a rookie who wasn't active for 10 weeks to start the season. So, you know, there's issues there. The bigger issue, and you mentioned it kind of in passing in all of that to me, is you've got about 8 different guys that you would think give you a pass rush on this team. I mean, guys you brought in to
Jordan
give you
Warner
some sort
play.
Of pass rush, and they've
he
had certain guys, whether it's Newsome or whether it's Warner, who have been healthy scratches during the course of the season.
Newsome made some big plays against Pittsburgh.
I understand that, but they've both been in on and off that inactive list as healthy guys. Now, Eric Walden is banged up, so maybe you see more of both of those guys and you get back to health. But for the most part, you've been healthy at the pass rushing spots and haven't gotten much of a pass rush. And that's a huge problem right now because Vontae Davis is a phenomenal cornerback, and he just doesn't look as good when he's got all day that he's got to guard these guys.
Nobody looks
well, exactly, but you've been seeing that. Ben Roethlisberger bides his own time anyways, but he had extra time because we weren't pass rushing all that well. And what does Vontae Davis look? Everybody goes, geez, what's wrong with Vontae Davis?
Well, he's exhausted.
He's exhausted running around for 10 seconds every
That's
play.
That's right. Nate Irving is done for the year. He's on IR, so check another Colts linebacker off the list.
Well, both the middle linebackers didn't practice today.
No.
DeQuell Jackson
and
Jarrell
Freeman. Quad injury. Freeman's got a hamstring and a rib problem. He didn't even go make the trip to Pittsburgh. That's not a huge surprise. So what do the Colts have to do? What's the Colts' best offense, Dave? It's their offense. It's not their defense. Their defense has to make situational plays. The offense has to find a way because when Hasselbeck has shown you he could be good, he threw for 300 yards.
Absolutely.
No interceptions. That's happened.
You can't argue too much about Matt Hasselbeck.
But here's the thing.
He's been great.
The NFL is a game of adjustments. Once teams got two or three games on when Hasselbeck was playing well,
and what
now they've got a new
him.
Defensive game plan.
Sure.
Now the Colts have to adjust to that. Chudzinski has to earn his money. Everybody knows, we're just going to keep it simple. Well, you still got to block. You still got to have time to keep it simple, and that's a problem that the Colts might have. Blake Bortles comes to town. He's been better. Let's give some credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, though, lost, I think, one of their really good receivers, the Albert something? I should know this. I do a talk radio program, but I don't. But the point is he's out, I think, for the year. Allen Robinson, the kid from Penn State, is a really nice player.
He's a nice player.
Tight end, the other guy was catching 8 or 9 touchdowns right
behind.
Well,
and they got Julius Thomas, but he just hasn't had nearly
the effect. Guy was killing him.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that guy's hurt. And but again, it's about the Colts. It's not about Jacksonville, right?
Well, it's got to be. And they've got to do at least one thing on the defensive side. They've got to put some pressure on Blake Bortles. I mean, if there's anybody you can pressure.
Who?
Ben Roethlisberger, is going to extend plays. So, I mean,
Bortles try to extend
emphasizes
them.
It. In this case, you've got to get after Blake Bortles and make him uncomfortable. Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday, and we'll talk about a pair of Hoosier basketball victories and a big Colts road victory, of course, because we're optimistic guys. And, of course, the Hoosiers tipping off here shortly, so get on your computer and check them out or wait till tomorrow night. It's IPFW. You can do what you want there. We will talk to you Monday, folks. You've been in the zone.